GAA on Off the Ball.
All right, everybody, you're very welcome back. St. Vincent's, how are we doing? All right, we are going to be looking ahead to Sunday's final very shortly. We're here tonight with thanks to Super Value, who are celebrating 10 years sponsoring the Football Championship. You're all very confident, I sense. Yeah. Is it going to be a 5-point win, a 10-point win? 20. A proper demolition of this Kerry side. We'll see what our experts think in just a little while, but I want to get out our next guest. You will remember him as the last man to climb the steps of the Hogan Stand and lift the national football title. Just let it hang out there. Give it up for Andy Moran! Thank you. Very gracious, aren't they? It's a lovely Dublin welcome.
Yeah, a nice welcome. I tried my best with my attire. Try to go as close to it.
Good
as
man.
I couldn't go as good as Pillar, but close enough. As good as I could.
How are you?
I'm
retired
good.
Footballer.
Yeah, retired footballer.
Thanks for giving us the exclusive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fine.
No,
wow.
I got a phone call from Pat Gilroy, and he said, this will be the week to do it, keep the pressure off us. So he said, it was just, I wouldn't be a man for statements or anything like that, so I decided to do it, just slip it into an interview, and it kind of took off from there. But it's done now, and it's time to move on.
So when did you know?
Last October 2018.
Right, so you knew coming into the year this
week. My wife Jennifer's with me tonight, and we kind of talked about it. We didn't enjoy 18 at all.
Why? Just results, or?
There was a lot of stuff going on in personal life. Dad passed away. Yeah. There was just a few things, and it just didn't really settle with me properly, you know. And it was then there was Newbridge or nowhere, and we didn't want to go out like that. But it was James rang and said, "Will you give it one more shot?" And we went and did it. And the way I look at it, we finished, got to play in Killarney, championship gaming place I always wanted to play in. Got to play Meath and Croker, had the Donegal game in McHale Park and finished off at the Dubs in Croke Park. So, bar winning the All-Ireland, in terms of venues, I couldn't really ask for more, to be honest.
So how does last weekend go then? Do you just give James Horan the call and say, yeah, it's definitely happening? Do you ring certain players on the team, or do you just let them know in the team WhatsApp group?
I think a couple of us knew that my days were coming to an end. I wasn't hiding it during the year that this is probably going to be it for me, you know. And we played club championship Saturday evening against Charlestown and got over the line in that. And next morning just sent James a text, any chance of a call. And it was done at 9:20 on Sunday morning, and let the boys play the championship then on the Sunday and put in the WhatsApp groups then that evening, you know.
I'd imagine, certainly looking at the online reaction, you're probably a bit blown away by the response.
Yeah, it was overwhelming, to be honest. It was, there was a lot of nice things, and it's nice to look back on good memories. As Mossy said, of course, there's certain things that you look back on, certain plays, certain things where you have regrets. But the majority of it, you go in and you say, listen, that was a great journey. You know yourself from Mayo, we are a bit different and a bit unique, if we're being honest, and.
Better, I would say.
Yeah. But we are. Yeah, there's certain things that you'd call it, but we love it, and we really don't really have another sport bar football down there. So it's the fulcrum of everything around our community. So it was a great time. Great. We started in 2003, and we've had some great days.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned there's no other sport aside from football. Yet when I was growing up, I remember you being an unbelievable soccer player, and an expectation that you might go and things. I know, did you play a bit of League of Ireland? You went to Longford at one stage? Or was like Mayo, playing senior football for Mayo, always the thing that you wanted?
No, when I was younger, soccer was probably my major game, growing up through the ages. But then the football kind of just, in around 18, 19, just started really taking it seriously and went playing a bit for Longford. And then John Mahon rang, and as soon as he rang, it was just, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And I was 18, 19 years of age at that time. And back in 2003, if you weren't gone or you hadn't made something in soccer at that stage, you weren't going to make it. So it was go to the Gaelic football, learn kind of the trade. I always say the thing about myself is I don't really have any kind of natural attributes in terms of size, speed or anything like that. So it took me a while to kind of learn the game, what I needed to know, how I needed to move and things like that. And it worked out all right for me at the end, you know?
Yeah, that's a sign of a very smart player, a brilliant player, because I know talking soccer, John Giles always makes the point on a Thursday night that players should get better with age. All right, you might slow down a little bit, but every game you play, you should be able to take something. So when you get into your 30s, you should be better than when you're in your early 20s. And watching you, it did feel that way, that actually, as you matured, everything you'd learned through the years, you were able to bring with you onto the pitch.
Yeah, an awful lot of my career earlier on was between the numbers of 5 and 12. And I remember, you were talking about Dermot, we were playing league 2009 down in Ballina, and I was playing left half-back, and Dermot Connolly came out and marked me playing right half-forward. And I was thinking, all right, yeah, I'm ready for this, you know. Ball got thrown in, Dermot runs across the pitch. I tried to run after him. He's 20 yards ahead of me, kicks it over the bar. I was like, all right, yeah, sound. So the next ball comes, bang, kick out, breaking ball, kicks over the bar. So we're 45 seconds into the game, Jeremy Connolly scored two points off me. I'm thinking, this is not going to end well, you know. But we tried a few illegal tactics and we got through it. It was a wet day and some things kind of suited me. I think we ended up drawing the game and it was okay. And it kind of developed from there. But what really helped me in a weird sort of way is broke my leg and did my cruciate inside about 12 months, and it made me kind of adjust my game and kind of move where I needed to move, and got some serious injuries, and I just kind of said, what can I do? And I couldn't play between 5 and 12 because, Massey, can you play between 5 and 12? No, so there's certain things that certain fellas can't do, and I just couldn't. I didn't have the legs for out there, so inside I went and just tried to kind of learn from the best players. And a guy played here for Vincent's from Mayo, a good friend of ours, Brian Maloney, and he was a massive ball winner. Like he could win balls kind of in pockets, but always close to goal. So studied players like him and Paul Gainey, kind of admire the way he can move. And even the way Conor Callan was moving the last day in the All-Ireland final in terms of where he was winning the ball, inside 15, 20 yards either side the post. Sure, that's where you need to be winning, and that's the kind of guys I kind of looked up to, you know?
And when you were settling into that spot then, right in that final third, were you sitting down at night watching other games? Were you watching Gainey? Have you been watching Conor Callan? Were you somebody who studied other players, their movement?
I'd have studied a lot of soccer. I studied a lot of soccer and how the striker kind of moves in and comes out between the two centre halves and kind of moves positions like that. And Joe, you'd always spot. Ollie Murphy was a big fan of mine. Sorry, no, Meath player, where I remember seeing him playing in Navan in 0-3 and just thinking, how's he doing what he's doing to our defenders? He didn't really score. He scored a point or two, but he just laid off everything. And just players like that. And there was always kind of smarter players playing the game in and around it. Like, to be fair, Mickey was on about Massey, and again, not just because, but Massey does it in terms of where he wins the ball and at club level, and you can see it, and it kind of just moves the pieces, you know?
There's sort of two stages to your Mayo career, and there's obviously the injuries in there, but there's sort of pre-James Horan, post-James Horan. You played the two All-Ireland finals and involved in two All-Ireland finals in 04 and 06. But then, like, since James Horan has come through, it hasn't garnered that All-Ireland medal. But what has happened with Mayo has been sort of insane in the success that the team has had and the consistency they've got to, but also, like you mentioned, the support. Like, it's a bit mental the way the Mayo supporters get behind and travel behind this team.
It's funny, when the boys were talking, and you listen to Pillar talking about Tommy Lyons and what he did, and he wouldn't have a bad word said about him. It's kind of similar in the John O'Mahony era. So what John O did, and he's club mind of mine, so I won't have a bad word said about John O either, but he brought through kind of Aidan, Donny Vaughan, you know, Shamey O'Shea. He brought through all them younger fellas, pushed them into the team. Yes, it ended up kind of in disaster for us in 2010, but all of a sudden in 2011 then, you were the fulcrum of a really good team. And it just kind of pushed on. Like, sometimes you just kind of get kind of generational footballers like the likes of Jeremy. But like in our case, it'd be the guys like, you don't get a 6'4" midfielder like Aidan O'Shea every day of the week. You don't get a Lee Keegan. You don't get these guys, Keith Higgins, all coming to the table at the one time. And that's kind of what happened to us. And what James brought then was a level of professionalism to it. And then it just kind of all kind of rolled on from there.
We'll get into maybe some of the disappointments and some of the regrets, but I do always remember talking to you. I think it was maybe the start of the 2014 season, and like the question you probably get asked all the time, particularly when you're in your 30s, is like, how do you keep going back? How do you get over the disappointments? And you were making the point about going on this journey and the journey that you were on as a team, and you're going out training twice a week with your best mates and just loving every minute of it. You're playing inter-county football, all right. That stage, you still thought you'd get that All-Ireland medal. But that there was just so much joy and so much pleasure in it. You couldn't understand almost the opposite side, why people would question why you'd be retiring.
Yeah, well, Gaelic is kind of transformed even since I started playing. When we started playing, it was slogging, it was running, really tough stuff, and you were thinking, going back in November, December, you were thinking, do I need to do that to myself again? Now it's you're going in, you're monitored from one end of the year to the other. I remember I used to always go to club training when I first started. So you might do 3-4 sessions with Mayo, but you might do it, like, I might even train with Mayo, if you couldn't, or train with Balladreen at the same time, you know? Now, you don't see the club fillers from one end of the year to the other. So the difference is that this Mayo team now, this Dublin team, they're basically like club players. That's their group of friends. That's their best mates. So I think it's probably make it easier to go back. And then when that's taken out of your life, which I'm going to encounter in the next few weeks and months and years, that's going to be the hardest part of it.
Have you thought much about that? Obviously, if you've made the decision a year ago, you've had plenty of time to comprehend what comes next. Like even the leaving the WhatsApp group, wondering what happens now over the next few months. Suddenly you're a bit of an outsider.
Like, I don't really believe in these WhatsApp groups, really. Do you know, they're kind of annoying.
It's because you're the alpha in the group.
But it was honestly the hardest thing I had to do. So there was a big contradiction there. I remember sitting down, I said to Jenny, I can't send it. She said, wait till the kids go to bed and we'll send it then. So we could have an old cry for ourselves. But, you know, I sent it and away we went. But it's, you leave the group. Have we thought about it? I genuinely thought I'd kind of go straight into something else, like as in coaching, and try to pick Mickey's brains there, down there. But it's, Joe, I will go that route eventually, but it's when we go there and what we do. And at the minute, it's probably after the last 2-3 days, it's okay, let's calm down, let's take a break, let's see where we are and kind of reassess.
What will you miss the most?
The crack. You know? The crack. It's just. It's brilliant, the story the boys are telling. I'm not sure we went that mad ever, but what I would love, and I'm obviously older than all the rest of them, myself and Clarky and a few of us, but what we used to love is when the boys used to go out, the younger fellas used to go out on a Sunday night and you were the older fella and you might have to go back to the Charlotte and Ollie and the kids and Jenny and you'd go, and then I'd be waiting for Tuesday night, I'd be like a child, come on. Who's with who? Yeah. Go on, yeah, Joe. So you'll be rubbing the hands. So you'll miss that, and you'll miss the dressing room, and Joe, you'll miss the group of lads. Like even going back to club training now, I'm 35 and 36 in November. Like I remember another saying about a soccer player, like he's too old to be playing. He's like a young fella running around with short shorts on him. He'll grow up and have kids, and you know, and that's kind of the stage I'm at. When I go back to the clubs, and the boys are coming back from Thailand after 3 weeks, you know, and they're having the crack, and I just like they're on a different planet, you know. So it's good, but all my lads have moved on. They're not playing anymore, you know.
Will you miss the dream that every winter, starting out thinking, you know what, maybe this is the year, and what would it be like if it was the year? Or did you ever think like that?
Oh yeah, of course you do. But like again, sorry for going back to the previous conversation. I think Paul Pillar said it. You go back to being a supporter. I remember we lost an All-Ireland Under-21 final in 2004. One of my best mates was captain in 2006, Keith Higgins, and they went and won it. And the message I sent him, I said, I'm extremely jealous, but I'm so happy. Do you know, I was just, like, of course you want to be there. You want to go up to Hogan Stand. You want to lift the cup. You dream of playing what the boys are going to play on Sunday. But we're back to being supporters now. We're back to, you know, shouting in the stands and giving out about the dubs and stuff like that. Now that's where we're at.
I get the sense as well, maybe, and probably for everybody, like the success you had, certainly at an individual level and winning Footballer of the Year in 2017, not that Stephen Clugston should have won it that year or anything like that, but like you were able to appreciate it all a bit more, that actually like the younger lads who come in and it all happens very quickly, like having that success in your 30s, even up at the qualifier against Down, like watching you on the pitch afterwards, you're probably there for 40 minutes signing autographs, that you've a greater sense of what it's all about than 10 years ago?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. It's like the guys here are going for 5 in a row on Sunday, and you hear the older guys talking then. Do you know, they go, it's not easy done. History, you know, isn't made, you know, it's not handed to you. Dublin still have to go out and beat Kerry on Sunday, and we're the same. It's like, I was so appreciated this year. The National League final, it's not an All-Ireland, it definitely isn't, but it's winning a trophy in Croke Park, and them 10 minutes after the game, like, they were magical in terms of, just being there. I can picture the guys now on Sunday, whoever wins Dublin or Kerry, in that green room, in under the Hogan stand with the cup. Amazing feeling. We only had the National League, but it was my first national title there. I remember just looking around and those guys there who were 19 years of age, and there was me and Clarkie who were turning 36 in November, and it was just kind of like, this is an amazing moment, you know. So, yeah, of course, you missed the dream. Like, I've been dreaming about winning All-Ireland since I was 5 years of age, but hopefully my story isn't finished with me all yet, you know.
Mm. How did you deal with the defeats? What were you like? Were they all different? What were you like the night of, the days after?
Like, the defeat against Dublin a couple of weeks ago, I'm not saying it was fine, but usually if you lose by a point and it's a really tight margin, you're going, you're doing the Mossy thing and you're thinking, oh, millimetre, Joe, if I ran for that, if I touched that, if I kicked the score, if I did this. When you lose by 10 points, you lose by 10 points and the team is just better. Mm. It's as simple as that. When you lose by a point, you know, there's a thousand things there. You know, your emotions go. You usually go out with the lads for the Sunday night and the Monday, and then you get home on the Tuesday, and it's just, you know, it's hard for a couple of months. Club usually suffers quite a lot. A few pounds going around the waist, you know. But it's, yeah, there's a few things like that. But it's, you just get up and get on with it, and you move on. And but the 16, 17 defeats...
The two own goals, come on.
Yeah. Like, we've been blaming forwards for years. Like, huh? Yeah. No, it's...
Something a bit off there, like.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
Just the goals or something.
But, like, the scary thing about it is the scary thing about it, Dublin go in, and the guys mentioned Dean Rock, if Cormac Costco actually played on Sunday, I think all the Dublin forwards, am I right, are under the age of 25, bar Dean Rock. Like, that's his, and that's the development where, you know, we had it there for a couple of years where there was people coming. We now need to churn that out again, you know, to compete. And you see the team that Kerry are producing, Sean Shea, David Clifford, Stephen O'Brien, Paul Ganey. Like, Sean O'Shea, David Clifford, they're both 20 years of age, you know. So these are generational players, and they need to be produced. And for us, in our All-Irelands, we always had that where we'd fellas coming. We're 17... It was kind of like, oh shit, like, okay, you know, I always said we'd win two or three, and then you're at 17 and you're kind of thinking, we scored one, what do we score, 116. Mm. You get to 19 points in the All-Ireland final, you're thinking, we're winning this game, and Dublin just got to 20.
Was that the one? Because 17 is obviously 6 minutes left, you're in front. It certainly felt like the first one almost, where you're looking at it going, this is about to happen. Did you feel that?
Well, in 2004, 2006, we just weren't good enough. Like, we bet a Dublin team, and I think the guys were very gracious to us there. Dublin were a better team than us. You know, we, as I said, we had two superstar footballers in Kieran McDonald and Kevin O'Neill. Like, you couldn't write. Alan Dillon was just coming on the scene as well, and it just kind of all worked out for us. But we go to Kerry, and they're just a better side than us. 2004, like, Dar O'Shea, Seamus Moynan just didn't play, and they're still Oculus, you know. 2013, 16 and 17 are different because you're just thinking, hold on, we're a point here, we're a draw, we get better in the replay, we lose by a point. So them three defeats are the three defeats that you look back on and you'd say, okay, maybe they're the ones you should have. But you have to, especially, you look what Dublin have done, they win one in 11. Now, is it going for six or seven? And you know, they win one, and now all of a sudden, the floodgates have opened, and you know, they're the team to catch now for the next decade.
Do you often think of sliding doors moments of if it had happened for Mayo in 2012, that obviously the consistency was there over the years that followed, that you could have been a team that if you'd won one early, you would have won two or three?
Yeah, and you often see it. You often see it in terms of golfers or, you know, they win a tournament and then all of a sudden they're on a roll and they win them. They know, all of a sudden now we know how to win. We know how to get over the line. Dublin, like in 11, Cluxton knew he was going to score, but like Kevin McMenamin comes on and scores a wonder goal, you know, and then all of a sudden the game is on, you know. It could have went either way that day. For us, it could have went either way against Donegal, Dublin 13. God knows it could have been different, but this is where we are today, so we just have to live with it.
Like, talking about, the two own goals and a freak occurrence like that, did it ever get into your head that, like, it's just not meant to be?
No, I think that's nonsense. Like, I know the boys, and I was laughing when they were saying from 95 to 2011 is a long time. try 1951, but anyway. The, But for Dublin, for Dublin, that is a long time. And them Leinster titles that the lads were talking about just missing out on, Joe, if you let it get into your head, to be honest, that's nonsense. It's I always say we will win the All-Ireland win. Our coaching is right, our tactics are right, and the players are right. So when everything comes together, we'll win the All-Ireland. And that's what will happen. And we have a good enough team. But like if you look at this weekend, we have two teams in the All-Ireland final. Both teams beat us by 10 points. Joe?
Can't have too many complaints.
Can't have too many complaints about that, you know.
Do you think you're going to be able to rest easy in retirement then? Or like,
she'll divorce me in a month if I'm not out of the house. Yeah. No, we'll see.
Like, will you be able to... You don't think... And I know you say you'll be happy when and it happens that Mayo get that All-Ireland. But... Like, are there nights where things pop up into your head about finals?
To be honest, since we had the kids, no. Before the kids, we would have... I've thought about football. I'd watched football. The telly wasn't off in terms of Gaelic football, going to matches, seeing things. Now it's... You know, I have to say I'm way more relaxed as a person. I think I can see things a tiny bit better now in terms of life and everything. So I haven't thought about games since... but the next move now for me is the key one, and which way I decide to go, I don't know.
You sound like you're itching to stay involved, though.
Oh, I'd be involved. I'm hoping to be like Mickey Whelan and still involved in his age, you know? Yeah, that's... I've known nothing else, really, to be honest. I've known nothing else. We're involved since we were 5, 6, 7 years of age. My wife, her brother played with me a minor, you know? He was my best man at the wedding, you know? So it's... Joe, that's the role we've taken, and we're together since we were 2003. So it's going to be football for the foreseeable.
You're happy to be defined as Mayo footballer Andy Moran.
I'm happy to be defined as a good father and thing, which my pastime is football.
Yeah. You know? You'd obviously made your decision already then. You talk about the two 10-point defeats, and we'll get on to just how good Dublin were for that 10-12-minute spell after half-time in the semi-final. Do you look at it, part of you stepping away a bit worried about where Mayo are now compared to where they were 2-3 years ago in comparison to Dublin and Kerry, because those kind of defeats weren't happening?
Yeah, and it was in my decision as well, slightly. We've really good forwards, and coming... But they probably need a bit of space now. Joe, they probably need what Tommy Lyons did with the lads. Joe, give them a bit of space, let them play, see how good they are, and then all of a sudden you get the results moving on. And we've got James Carr, potentially a really good player. You've seen what he did against Galway. Another guy called Brian Reap, Fergal Boland, who's a little playmaker around the place, Fionn McDonagh, and these guys. And then you add them into a bit more experience, and you wouldn't know what you'd come up with, you know? But it's about giving them space, letting them be good enough, letting them get good enough, get their strength and conditioning, but more importantly, let them play football, see where they are. With me there, I probably felt if I played well, there's always a temptation there to put me in, and that freedom probably wouldn't be let to them. So maybe there's a part of that in it as well, you know?
How much of you, as Dublin were starting to move through the gears, was itching to get in, though? Because I think most people on the sideline from a Mayo point of view were looking at Soren going, you need to get him on.
And you have to look at it from James's point of view too. We went in 2 points up. We were bench front-loaded with forwards to probably go and say, right, if it's in the melting pot now, we can really push like what Dublin have done to us in the past. Put on Jeremy, put on Paddy Andrews, you know, put on Kevin McMenamin, Cormac Costello, and these guys. So we're looking at that, and then all of a sudden, bang, this comes at you. You're 1-1 after 2-3 minutes, and then you're 2-6 after 11 minutes. So... what do you change there? Where do you move? Do you move your midfield? Do you move your backs? Do I put Andy up, but he's not going to get the ball? So was there much point, Joe, putting me on? And then, listen, it was great. Like, I know this sounds mad, and I'm not just saying it that I want to get out of St. Vincent's alive, but I'd have...
Don't we all?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know it, the buzz, the culture buzz... Right, when we're down in Mayo and you're coming up to play Dublin, there's actually nothing like it. It's craziness. It's the whole way up to the N5, and you know, even to Longford, you know, the Longford people, you know, it's crazy, and it's a brilliant feeling. And I'm sure this Dublin team and the supporters here, even though there's been madness between the two of us, but there's been great rivalry over the last couple of years. I'm sure the crack is brilliant, you know, and I can imagine in a club like this where there's Mayo people involved as well, I can imagine, you know, the crack that's going on here when Mayo and Dublin are playing, and you know, that they're the memories, you know.
You'll probably take a bit of time now to pause and reflect and think back, but how aware are that group of maybe how they have, and this has been very self-indulgent Mayo conversation, like, there's a pride, I think, among Mayo supporters, despite not getting the final, that there's, like, the coming together, as you say, on a weekend of an All-Ireland final or a semi-final, or the thousands of people that go on these pilgrimages to the qualifiers, no matter where it is in the country, Saturday after Saturday. That wasn't there, felt probably not really as much before 2011. Like, people in Mayo now, their entire social life revolves around the inter-county team. That doesn't happen everywhere.
You're not selling Mayo. Do you know this... Do you know this decentralisation they were on about years ago? Yeah, you're killing us. But no, it's very true, and it's probably hard to kind of comprehend it if you're not from it. But it's just a way that, you know, so many people from Mayo live all around the country. There's so many people in Meath. There's so many people in Dublin and in the suburbs around here that it's just a kind of a way for us to meet. And I think the excitement really kind of builds when we do get to Croke Park, and it kind of moves on from there. So
it did just, even that day in Newry, like 40 minutes after the game, there's a few thousand people still on the pitch. It's a regular run-of-the-mill qualifier. Everybody's seen all the players 50 times before, yeah. But everybody just wants to get onto the pitch because
and what fascinates
you never
me
know who you're into.
Is these young fellas that still want gloves, like, and the gloves are 20 size too big. You don't have a pair of gloves to wait. But it's... yeah, and it's that, like, the crowd was in Newry that day. I remember we went down and played Limerick last year, and the Limerick cornerback turned around to me and he goes, "This is unreal." And I said, "What's unreal?" He goes, "There's about 6,000 people here. We usually play in front of 250, you know?" And that's the kind of atmosphere we bring, and it's brilliant. I think, to be fair, the last day in Croke Park, for me to finish there, you know, It was a nice way to go. You'd love to go with an All-Ireland medal, but we got a National League, we got to play in all them great venues against the best teams. Can't ask for any more than that, you know?
And there's some brilliant shots as well, I think. There's understandably, because I guess familiarity breeds contempt, there is hostility between Mayo and Dublin, and the shots of yourself and Stephen Cluxton at the end of the game, that probably not too many words, I'd imagine, but that nod of, yeah.
Yeah, I was laughing.
We've been through the mill.
I was laughing at that photo. We've 7 All-Ireland medals between the two of us. I don't know. But it was funny that night, actually. The guys went out and the Dublin lads were out. And it... Joe, David Clark and Cluxton they probably don't meet enough each other to be called friends, like, but they have great mutual respect. So every time they're in the room, they seem to end up talking to each other, you know. And everyone is like, Cluxton obviously doesn't talk much, you know. And I'll tell you something, Clark, he doesn't talk much either. To see the two boys talking, yeah. They must be just cut from the same cloth. But I think there's a mutual respect. We were on, myself, Colin Boyle and Clark, were lucky enough to be on the All-Star trip in Philadelphia there. And I think there's good mutual respect between all players. The one thing I would say about the Dubs is they don't shy away from it, like, in terms of the training. And they're in Philadelphia there. Yes, don't worry. We definitely had a bit of crack. And them boys were training now. You know, they weren't messing. So it's... yes, they're going for 5 in a row, but they weren't looking for excuses to get out of it. They were doing their work, and you'd have to admire them for it, you know?
What were the best days? What are the days that stand out and go, that was good?
There's many of them. I remember, like, the build-up to All-Ireland Finals is brilliant, Joe, but wins and all that, I think you can always look at results and say they were the great days and brilliant. But you mentioned Newry's, Joe, going away, Joe, getting the trips, meeting guys from other counties. Do you know, like, you're on about that game in 2006. Never mind the game itself. The game itself was brilliant, but the atmosphere around it, like, we drove in, my town would be the first town going into Mayo. Okay, we say Mayo, it's the first time driving into Mayo, and I remember Kieran MacDonald ringing me and he said, "Andy, how do I get out of this town?" And I go, "What do you mean?" And he goes, so there was this bar called the Corner Barrel. It was main road up to the thing, and they'd all beer barrels stacked up, you know, three high. And he goes, they won't let me through.
Everyone wanted to drink at McDonald's.
I had to show him a shortcut. So, like, you know, there's memories all around the place. There's great people. Unfortunately, this year we lost John Morrison. Mm. Joe, we were messing and having the crack about him before, but like he came down into Mayo in 2006, sending us Valentine's cards, bringing skips to train, and Joe ringing you, Joe, and Joe, the crack, and like you just did all these, and you met so many different characters throughout the years. It was brilliant. And to me, the games were Crow Park. I kind of loved every time we got up there. It just kind of brought the best out of Mayo, and it brought the best out of the Mayo people.
Did you ever give the ears to the Hill?
They gave it to me. The minute I came in, he goes like this to me. He goes, make sure you talk up now. They gave it to me the minute I came in. But yeah, I struggled.
You
in that.
Love that.
Yeah,
you mentioned like Balahedrin is obviously Balahedrin is in Roscommon, but you play your football in Mayo. Yeah. Against Roscommon, you're giving them both barrels and you have to go home and live in Balahedrin with these people.
I enjoyed that. It wasn't my smartest move. But the Dublin one, I was the semi-final, I had a very poor game in the semi-final against Tyrone, and there was lots of calls for me to be Joe Mickey Conroy to come in and be replaced and everything. And we had a psychologist at the time called Kieran Shannon. And he said, Joe, keep telling yourself, you're going to silence the Hill, you're going to silence the Hill. So I blame him for that. I did it, and I was like, what am I doing?
You're the lie with yourself.
Do you know what the worst thing about it was? They went straight up the pitch from the kick out, kicked it out, Bernard put the ball in the back of the net the first time. I was like, oh, come on. Thanks, Bernard. Yeah. But listen, great times, and it's great to be here.
Yeah, Andy, stick with us on stage. Thank you. It's been brilliant to talk to you, and I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more and see a lot more of you over the coming years. GAA on Off the Ball.